This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
I want to describe two scenarios to you. I was buying some bananas and I bought them at two different supermarkets. Now, the Coles near me in Richmond, I went to and I put it on the scales that measure it, and I had to go into fruit and vegetables, B for bananas, although there was a banana thing there, and then select the type of bananas, I weighed them and I put them in my bag. At the Woolworths in the city, the other thing happened. I pulled the bananas out of my trolley. As I'm approaching the checkout, it pops up and said, suggests bananas. Before I even think about what do I need to select, it has done the work for me. That is one of the trends that is happening in retail at the moment involving artificial intelligence. But there's so many more things that we also need to look out for this year. And Dr. Jason Palant is a consumer behavior expert from RMIT University. Jason, Happy New Year.
Yes, Warren, Happy New Year to you as well.
Now, let's talk about some of the trends. Can we start with artificial intelligence? Because I was actually quite surprised when I pulled them out, and before even putting them on the self-service checkout, it had said, you've got bananas. How did it know?
Yeah, this is a fascinating, and I think we've spoken about some of these rising different technologies and the things that retailers are trying to make things, you know, more seamless while also protecting themselves from things like theft or, you know, staff abuse. And that whole role of technology, but AI, as you say, has really pushed it forward. You know, the one I saw the other day, I don't know if you've seen this, but some stores now in the self-checkouts have little gates you actually can't get out unless you have bought something. Isn't that fascinating?
It is fascinating.
But I got stuck there.
Did you get stuck?
I got stuck. Because I had left my family were inside doing the shopping and we're like, oh, we better run and get some bread. So I tried to leave. I couldn't leave because I hadn't bought anything. Oh. I had to get a staff member to let me out. So fascinating pros and cons of all of these technologies.
It's interesting because yesterday I went to the supermarket and bought some fruit and vegetables, and I bought some outside the supermarket. There's a fruit and vegetable shop, and I thought I'll support them first, get what I can there. And then I went in to the supermarket and I already had some fruit and vegetables, and I bought more fruit and vegetables there. And I was nervous approaching those gates because I thought, it's going to think that I've, you know, stolen these things or I haven't paid for them because they're already in a bag that is labeled with the supermarket. And I was nervous, but yeah, they did open, thank goodness.
Well, except that I guess it had already tracked you as you were coming in, right? So it's like this guy's walked in with vegetables, could be part of what's happened, or they've seen that you haven't actually picked it off the shelves. Like, it is a really fascinating, as we've said a few times throughout the year, like pros and cons of these different technologies. I'm very interested to see where the technology can go, but also where that consumer response starts pushing back. Like, where do we find the level where we go, you know what, this is actually a bit too creepy for me if I just want to go buy some bananas?
Do you think we are reaching that point?
Yeah, I think we are. And I think we saw some examples last year where, consumers just want to be aware and be able to make a choice, right? Mm. And so going there and the first time that happens to you with your bananas, that can be really off-putting if you don't know or are aware or are happy with that kind of technology. So I think we're going to see a lot more of those kind of initiatives pop up, and retailers and brands need to be really careful about how they communicate that to shoppers so that it's not creepy, it's actually beneficial.
I'll give you another scenario, Jason, and that is I scanned something. This was at a Coles supermarket, and I scanned something and I put it in the bag that was on the scales, and it flashed at me and said, something like, item not scanned, and went beep, beep, and there was a red X, and my face popped up on the screen. And for a split second, I felt like a bit of a criminal. I thought, oh my goodness, what if I put something in my bag that I haven't scanned? And I called the assistant over, and she said, oh no, it's a bit of a glitch. But that made me feel, I didn't enjoy the experience of shopping there, to be honest with you.
Exactly. And I think this is the big risk for brands, right? It can, if it goes really well, right? Mm. It can be a benefit to your shopping experience. But anytime it breaks down, it can actually create a lot of tension. And so I think as we think about technology broadly, but we also think about, you know, AI that everybody's talking about, I think that's the challenge. And what we'll see play out over the next year is some things get it right, some probably get it wrong, but hopefully as we learn and we grow, it starts getting better and less creepy big brother and more useful assistant.
I tell you what, I did go to my local IGA and there was none of this artificial intelligence, and it was a much more relaxed shopping experience, if I can just say.
it's a great point you make, Warren, right? That we're almost seeing, you know, we're going to see different kinds of shopping experiences for different consumers. I actually think there's a real place, as you've said just then, for your local stores to say, you know what, we're going anti-tech. We're going human-to-human interaction, right? Come and get your things scanned at a real human, have a chat about the weather, because some people want that, right? And then other stores being like, you know, this is a fully automated, AI-empowered, all the tech bells and whistles you could ever want, because some people don't want it.
Exactly. Let's. What other trends could we be looking out for this year, particularly with, I suppose, cost of living pressures?
I mean,
they're still there, aren't they? They're
still there and they're getting worse. I mean, my interest rates keep going up. We just keep getting new little repayments and new extra costs from childcare and new things. And I think what's really interesting is we saw, you know, over the last few years, if people were able to fix their home loans before the interest rates started really going up, they were, you know, not really as affected as everybody on the variable rates. But we're starting to see that sort of close, you know, like fixing your home loan is the same as the variable rate almost now. So a lot more people are starting to get affected by this. It's interesting that we haven't actually seen it really start hitting the retail numbers, partly because the last few months of the year, there's so many big discounts, you know, Black Friday and Cyber Monday, Click Frenzy. So what we've actually seen is a lot of consumers going to those big discounting events, or from some of the examples that you talked about, looking for other sort of local places that we can go shop, or trying to even grow things ourselves in the garden, just different ways. And I think that's going to be something we see play out this year is, how do consumers actually look to save money on various kinds of shopping outlets?
There's two concerns that come to mind for me. And one is, you know, I mentioned that I go to the local IGA sometimes, and I feel like even though there's less shelf space, there's more brands in that, say, you know, square meter of shelf than there is at the major supermarkets. With cost of living pressures affecting us, are we more likely to buy the supermarket branded items, you know, the no-name products, etc., and therefore we're going to, you know, lose more of the brands that exist out there now, that diversity in brands?
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. I think there's two things working against sort of brands, if you will, right? And so you talk about groceries there. One of them is that cost of living pressures and going, all right, can I actually tell the difference in, you know, my rice bubbles if I buy the branded one versus the whatever the supermarket calls it, you know, bubbles of rice or rice puffs, whatever. And you're right, that does have then a risk for those brands, particularly if that's a sort of locally owned brand, that could be a longer term impact on the economy. Even in areas like fashion though as well, and we go back to that AI space, I'm quite interested in the kind of idea of people being able to custom make and design their own clothing. Do we really need fashion brands to now design things for us if I can jump on generative AI and get 1,000 designs and customize it to myself? I think there's, you know, a tough time to be a sort of brand in consumer and retail at the moment.
Are you a good fashion designer, do you reckon, Jason?
I am a horrible one. I did a fashion unit at school and designed what I thought was a pretty great hoodie with some flames all over it, which I thought were cool at the time, and it was not. But, you know, I am not, but I think it's a really interesting space to see where people start taking stuff into their own hands rather than paying extra for a brand name.
We're chatting with Dr. Jason Palant, consumer behavior expert from RMIT University, about some retail trends to look out for in 2024. What other things should we look out for, Jason?
Well, I think there's a big one. If we go to that idea of brands, actually, there's this really interesting space. We've seen the rise of kind of fandom related purchases, right? So we spoke in one of the recent episodes about the rise of Crocs, mm-hmm. right? We spoke
yes.
about the Barbie movie. Yep. You know, you look at things like the Marvel Universe, even things like, you know, the Matildas, the football team or soccer team, depending on what you call it, and what impact that had on culture and purchases. So I'm really interested to see what other kind of big fandoms are we going to see emerge this year? Is it going to be product related? Is it going to be some more nostalgia popping up from our childhoods? Is there another sporting team going to really take over? Because I think that's the space where we can see that kind of more premium purchase being valuable. I can't fake, you know, the experience of supporting the Matildas or the Barbie movie where I might be able to for a random t-shirt. So how are brands going to tie into that kind of idea of these big fandoms over the next year?
What about also, you know, some of us, you know, we've started the new year, we're in holiday mode still. We don't want to go into the office anymore. How are retail locations such as the CBD, et cetera, going to be impacted with, I suppose, you know, the flexible work arrangements?
Yeah, I think this is a really fascinating one to watch, right? Because as you said, we're sort of slowly coming back into the office. And I think just even just anecdotally looking around, I think we're seeing most workplaces end up on some kind of flexible or hybrid work. Mm. We've not seen too many go really hard back. You must be here every day. I think a lot of I'm commonly seeing for full-time workers, it's, you know, 2 or 3 days in the office, 2 or 3 days from home. And you multiply that out across CBDs and how many people is that not coming to those CBD locations across a given week, yet then doing their shopping, their spending in their local areas. Like around me in Melbourne's East, all of my, like two of my local shopping centers have drastically improved themselves over the last 12 to 18 months, which I don't know if they would have if we were still all going to the city. So I think it's a real opportunity for local brands, local retailers, local cafes, yet as well some of the big chains to think about where are they actually putting their, you know, showcase stores.
Jason, just on that, I there were two things I wanted to buy in the Boxing Day sales, and one was I always buy new undies for the new year, and
essential,
and some new towels. I needed some new towels, and I thought, and I went to a couple of shopping centres, and I'm not joking, I walked in. And I walked straight out. I thought, I can't do this. He's so busy. And I almost got felt a bit claustrophobic in there. I walked out. I went down, you know, because I'm in Richmond Bridge Road, and I got both of them at local stores that are, you know, street frontage shops. And I thought, I didn't need to go to the shopping centres. I could have done it local in the first place. And I did, and I was so pleased with myself.
Good on you. And I think there's a real shift towards that shopping local for multiple reasons of the trends that we've spoken about, right? It can be more convenient. It's more personal and you feel like you're getting a bit more valuable. And at the same time, it sort of feels like you're giving back. If you walk into a local store, you know where those dollars are going. Mm. You know who that's benefiting. And so if you've got your hard-earned money and you go, where am I going to spend this? Getting that extra benefit of shopping local. I think that's another trend we can add to that list of people trying to really go local, go custom. You know, not the kind of big chains, but finding something unique from a local retailer.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that local shop that sells hoodies with flames on it.
Yeah, I know. So coming soon. Watch out for the Palette line of fashion.
Thanks, Jason. Great to chat with you. We'll talk to you next month.
As always, thanks, Warren.
Thank you. That is Dr. Jason Palant, consumer behaviour expert from RMIT University. You're on Joy Drive.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.